morning is Faison against Meridian Rail Corporation.
Good morning, Your Honors. May it please the Court. I am Carol Wynn on behalf of the plaintiff's appellants. This case is on appeal from the District Court's denial of plaintiff's motion for summary judgment and denial of plaintiff's motion to revise the class and the grant of defendant's motion for summary judgment. This case, in a nutshell, is that Meridian Rail failed to give 60 days notice under the required WARN Act when it shut down or closed the plant on December 31st, 2003. When it told its workers who showed up that day to go home, when Meridian had scheduled no work for these employees after December 31st, 2003.
Well, is what's important to you the fact that these workers who were rehired by the new company were required to reapply?
No, Your Honor. What's important to plaintiffs is that a plant closing happened 8 days prior to the effective date of the sale of this business. Subsequently,
but
anything
that
they
had to reapply, then it would have been just an 8-day break in service, right?
No, Your Honor.
No?
As the Department of Labor has defined or what termination means, it means the cessation of an employment relationship. And that's what happens.
That sounds awfully picky, right? I mean, suppose a company is sold and they tell the workers, look, we're going to be closed for a day until the new owner takes over, and he'll probably retain all of you, but who knows? Well, is that a termination?
Your Honor, defendants...
What's your answer?
If
I gave you a concrete case, I'm interested in what you think about it. Whether you think that's a termination.
The seller terminated its employees on the date
the
of the sale,
says
Your Honor?
To the workers, look, I've sold this company. It's going to be closed for 1 day until the new owner arrives. And he will, in all likelihood, retain you guys because he wants to run the plant. But we're closing. I'm closing. I'm leaving. So, and then the new owner shows up and he retains some or all the people. Now, my question is that a termination?
Your Honor.
The sale which involves a brief interruption of employment.
Under the sales exception, and I'm afraid I can't answer the question unless you tell me if the termination actually comes out of the sale. And that's when the sales exception would apply. In your case, the situation
you
gave...
I don't know what you mean when you say termination comes out of the sale.
If the seller, in your hypothetical, had terminated all of its employees...
Well, he's closing. I mean, he's leaving, right? He sold the business.
If he sold the business prior to the date of the sale, then yes.
You have to... I don't understand. If you sell a business... You're terminating all your employees, right?
Yes, Your Honor.
Unless there's some deal where the new owner has agreed to, retain them. But suppose there isn't. You just sell the business. You're out. The employees no longer work for you.
That's a technical termination, as I understand how you're describing the situation.
Okay, so that's a technical termination. Is that
under the sales
is that
exception.
Enough to trigger the statute?
No, Your Honor. Any action
well, then
under
the difference
sales
between
exception?
My case, technical termination, and the actual case?
The difference, and the big difference, is a termination happened, in fact, prior to the date of the sale.
But it did in Judge Posner's hypothetical, too. Now I'm confused about your position, as well as Judge Posner being confused.
Plaintiff's position is that there was a plant closing on December 31st, 2003, when Meridian...
But there was already a sale agreement, wasn't there?
Your Honor, it's not clear when exactly they agreed. It was behind closed doors when they agreed that the sale
but
was
I know,
actually...
But the new company takes... So 8 days later, right?
The sale was completed on January 8th, 2004.
There must have been an agreement before that. I mean, you can't have an agreement and the closing and reopening of the business all...
Yes,
once.
Right. I believe that's true.
So there must have been a sale agreement, and then the sale agreement, and all the workers are terminated because they've had this agreement. And then there's an eight-day interval and a new owner who retains some of these people. But you say that's not a technical termination. That's a real termination. That's
a real termination, Your Honor.
But it would be a technical termination if what had happened?
If it happened, if Meridian
if the sale was somehow simultaneous with the termination.
Yes, Your Honor, contemporaneous, simultaneous with.
So if they had said that the termination will occur on that eighth day when it reopens or something, when the new owner shows up, that would be okay.
No, Your Honor, it's not what they say. It's actually what they do. And what they did here was terminate its entire workforce on December 31st, 2003. They had scheduled no work for these employees.
Yes, but so they've done that because they're selling the company, right? So if the sale had somehow, if title had passed 8 days earlier, then you wouldn't have a case. Is that it?
Yes, Your Honor. If the plant closing arise at the sale same time, contemporaneous with the termination, then the sales exception would apply. But here, that didn't happen. In fact, defendants are asking this court really to expand the sales exception to include a plant closing that happened 8 days prior to the effective date of the sale. Defendants cannot cite a single case for that proposition. None of the cases cited that applies a sales exception deals with a seller having triggered the act prior to the date of the sale. Defendants want this court to do what no other court has done, somehow bridge an 8-day gap so that the terminations that happened on December 31st, 2003 are somehow categorized as arising out of the sale that happened eight days later, so it can be treated as a technical termination. A plant closing under the Warren Act is a shutdown, either a permanent or a temporary shutdown, that results in an employment loss of at least 50 workers. That happened here on December 31st, when Meridian closed down its plants, sent all of its workers home, did not have a single day of work scheduled for these employees. When Meridian stopped all of their benefits, stopped their seniority, stopped their health insurance, these workers on December 31st, 2003, had no guarantee of any job. They had no idea when their next paycheck was coming or who was going to be paying that paycheck.
Guarantee, even if the sale had occurred beforehand, since the buyer was going to require them to reapply.
Yes, Your Honor, that's true.
You concede that if the sale had occurred beforehand and been announced, then everything would be within the sale exception of the statute, even if the workers had to reapply.
Your Honor, what I'm arguing is that
this is why I get lost. Maybe it's weird.
It's when
Posner's having trouble too.
It's when the sale is contemporaneous with the termination, and that didn't happen here. I see that I'm going into my rebuttal time.
Mm-hmm. Your name is Wynn.
Thank you, Your Honor.
Mr. Armstrong.
Good morning. May it please the court. I represent Meridian Rail, the appellee, and the defendant in the case below. It is not our position, or contrary to the plaintiff's position, that the terminations occurred on December 31st. By perspective, the sale was announced to the employees on December 31st, but prior to December 31st, the buyer solicited applications for employment from employees. And
now, when was this sale agreement made?
Clearly in mid-December, it became clear that the transaction was going to go forward.
It became clear. Well, there's no written sale agreement.
Written sale agreement, and the sale closed on January 8th.
Yes, I know that. What is the date of the sale agreement?
Your Honor, I don't know specifically.
So you don't know whether there was an actual written agreement or just a, you know...
There is a written agreement.
Oral understanding before December 31st?
It was in negotiations, and clearly in mid-December when the buyer solicited employees to apply for employment, it was clear that they envisioned the sale was going to be going forward. Up to that point, it was touch and go,
but
from what I understand.
They didn't have an agreement.
They didn't have an agreement until that point.
They didn't have an agreement until January 8th.
They didn't have a signed agreement, a closed agreement, until January 8th.
Closed agreement, but was there a preliminary agreement? Was there any kind of contract?
There is a contract, and forgive me, Your Honor, I don't know the specific date that they nailed it all down. But
there's nothing in the record.
There's nothing in the record. On December 31st, the employees
were told...
What was
the sale price?
Several million dollars.
Just a few million dollars. So it was a small deal. Is that what you're saying, just a few million?
I don't know specifically. The sales agreement is in the record.
Because it does seem a little casual to begin soliciting the employees before you have any signed agreement to buy the plant.
But
that's what happened.
That's what happened, and the buyer intended to continue operations, wanted to have a workforce, and advertise for those positions.
This was one of a number of places across the country that were being
Correct. Correct. There were three other...
There were two sites at this location. Right?
There were two sites at this location and a facility in Kansas and a facility... forgive me, and I can't remember.
Well, that's all right. Were they all the sale closed on all at the same day?
Yes. And those other facilities were not... Initially were brought as part of this complaint, and then that theory was abandoned by the plaintiffs. But on December 31st, the employees were notified that the last day of production would be January 7th. And it's not true that all employees were terminated on December 31st. The record is clear, and Judge Holderman in his decision cited to the fact that all of the salaried employees were paid through the closing date, and at least 13 hourly employees worked that following week up until the closing date. December 31st was a Wednesday. January 1st was a holiday. January 2nd, and then there were three business days at the beginning of that following week, where before the sale closed. This case is not unlike cases cited in our brief, where the employees had a short loss of employment, so to speak, and were then hired by the buyer.
Well, what's the definition of employment loss?
A permanent termination of employment. An employment termination other than discharge for cause, voluntary departure or retirement, the layoff exceeding 6 months, or a reduction in hours of work more than 50%.
Well, doesn't that fit this? I mean, they were fired, right? So that's a termination.
The case law and the decisions relied upon by Judge Holderman look to a common sense, practical, effects-driven analysis of whether, in fact...
I have no idea what that means, except that that's an invitation to ignore the statute and do something else. If you use the terms of the statute and you agree that the sale has technically occurred later, why is this not a termination? And it's a defined term in the statute, so why does it not meet the definition?
Well, the termination, our position on that would be the termination occurred immediately prior to the closing of the sale.
That's true, but that's why I was asking you about the... I can understand an argument that, well, the sale was actually made in December, and the closing, and as soon as they're, you know, actually soliciting applications from the workers, that's the sale. The closing is a detail, but apparently there really was no sale before January 8th. But there certainly was a termination. You know, these people were discharged, and they were never paid for the few days that they missed. So why isn't that a termination?
The practical effect is that they had a not permanent cessation of employment.
Let me ask you this. Why should we strain to accommodate you? Hey, what's the point? Because then we're going to have future cases, not 8 days, it's 10 days, 12 days, 2 weeks, right? Why not just say, yeah, if the termination occurs before the sale, then the statute is triggered. You can easily protect yourself. You can have a sale agreement before the actual closing, right? That's how you protect yourself, and that would eliminate cases like this.
Or you just pay the workers for the bridge time. 8 days pay is what this all turns on.
Well, perhaps it's 3 days pay, because there was holidays pay on January 1st. I believe holiday pay for Friday, January 2nd, because it was a weekend.
It sounds like the buyer, either you close the sale beforehand, or you accept this rather small amount of pay for this window as the cost of not closing beforehand, preserving your option to walk away. The alternative really sounds like your invitation is mush. Don't follow the statute. Follow your nose.
Well, it's not.
And
too,
if I smell something different from my colleagues, well, I have no idea where my nose leads me.
But in this situation, it's not far from what happened in the Eighth Circuit's decision in Smullen versus Mitty Enterprises, where the closing was
In the Eighth Circuit's decision, the sale was closed before the termination. And under the statute, that seems to be terribly important. You know, as Holmes said once, the law is full of circumstances, the law is full of lines, where a man's fate, indeed even his life, depends on being just a little on one side of the line or the other. And the fact that there's another side of the line doesn't mean there's no line or we should ignore the line or anything like that. That's what law is. We're full of drawing lines.
I appreciate that, yeah.
Who are the plaintiffs in this case?
The plaintiffs were four union representatives of the seller, Meridian Rail, who then were not hired, who applied for employment and were not hired by the buyer.
There are no plaintiffs who were. First of all, there was also a class sought to be certified.
Correct. There was an initial class sought, which these four plaintiffs would have been representatives of, because they were employees who had applied and not been hired. The class was sought to be amended to include all employees that were terminated, regardless of whether they were hired by the buyer, and neither or none of the four plaintiffs would fall into that proposed class.
So you're not, as it stands now, none of the people who were hired, ultimately hired, are parties to this lawsuit.
Correct. That is correct. So and Judge Holderman raised that as an issue in his decision denying the revised class, stating that he had a question as to whether these four named plaintiffs would be
appropriate. So if the case would go forward in its current status, that is the four plaintiffs, what's your exposure liability?
If it would go forward as to the four plaintiffs, the exposure would be 60 days of pay for those former Meridian Rail employees who were not hired. It's in the realm of, and this gets into how big that class is. Our figures show that 31 employees were not hired. I see that my time is up, Your Honors. Just in summary, we would request.
Thank you, Mr. Armstrong.
Thank you, Your Honor.
Anything further, Ms. Wynn?
There was a plant closing 8 days prior to the effective date of the sale. And that's the practical effect. And, yes, there is a line. And the line has been drawn in the statute itself. The statute is clear when the sales exception applies. It doesn't apply in this case. January 8, 2004, Meridian did not employ a single employee on that date. It had already terminated its workforce. Don't bridge this 8-day gap that defendants are asking this court to do. If 8, why not 9? Why not 10? Why not a month or 2 months?
Now, your opponent placed a lot of weight on the Wiltz case, the Sixth Circuit case, which you didn't mention in your reply brief. Do you want to say something about that?
All of the cases, Wiltz, Smullen, Alter,
let's talk about
Dingell,
Wiltz.
All of them deal with a termination that happens at the same time as the sale of the business to the buyer.
But what did the Wills court... So it's the Wills case, I think, that is the source of Mr. Armstrong's quotation about wanting a practical effects-driven analysis. Now, why would the court have said practical effects-driven analysis if it was a simultaneous sale and termination so that it fit the sale exception? Why would you have to get into effects?
That clarifies what a technical termination is. The reason behind the sales exception at all is so that companies can be sold, so that sellers can sell to buyers without having to trigger the act. But here,
so you're saying it's an explanation for the statute. It's not a standard for courts to apply.
Yes, Your Honor. Thank you.
Mm-hmm. Thank you very much. The case is taken under advisement.